and singing Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, you can't sing about that.
Well.
It's one of them. You know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
834 is the time, 1-866-8. I know. 866-823-1077. Somebody sent me an email.
No.
Same as Elmer Fudd now have a staple gun. I said, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no intention of watching any kind of new cartoon.
No. No.
Some politically correct Elmer
Fudd. Yosemite Sam without his six shooters? No, please. Aerosmith.
How can he be the rootinest tootinest?
There you go.
In all of the West.
So, Aerosmith, Janie's got a gun.
Yeah.
I'm going to dub in glue.
Janie's got some glue.
Gun.
Gun.
Okay, there it is. Janie's got a glue gun. You know, okay, that'll shut everybody up.
It's about hobbies, see?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah, we're just turning the story around.
Yeah,
right,
okay, yeah, sure. Putting rhinestones on jackets, that's...
Janie's got a bedazzler.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Well, just going off the farm a little
man.
Bit. Only a little bit.
1-866-823-1077 is the number, and we're going to catch up with the governor, I think, in a couple of minutes.
At any time.
Now. Yeah, because there's more New Hampshire businesses open. Health leaders saying take a measured approach. Experts say that the state is trending in the right direction in slowing the spread of COVID-19. And that allows more parts of the economy to open and more people going outside. But, you know, officials caution the virus is still with us. And the Manchester Health Department said, you know, you got to have a different mindset. You got to think about other people other than ourselves who may become immunocompromised or who may become sick. So, you know, Nashville, Manchester health officials say reopening will continue to be a slow and calculated approach.
Well, it's good because it's got to be this. You got to do the smart thing. Joining us right now from the great state of New Hampshire, Governor Chris Sununu. Thank you again, Governor. Amy Hall, who was just speaking for the dairy industry, says thank you to the governor for the work
he's done.
She
was singing your praises, man. Thank the governor. Great. Thank the governor for what he's done for the dairy farmers.
Well, they've had a tough road of it, that's for sure. Not just through the COVID stuff, but, I mean, really the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
3 years in particular, the dairy farmers have been really stuck with some tough pricing issues, and I think they were just their quota was just taken down another 15% or something like that. So no, we did a relief fund for agriculture and dairy farmers in particular, and so no, and we're glad it's getting out because Commissioner Jasper's been doing a great job with that.
Yeah, but she didn't say anything about Sean. She was singing your praises.
Okay,
just saying, you know.
But look, I'm a team player. Everyone, there's a team here behind the. Behind the guy at the press conference, there was an awesome team that's doing really good work. So any chance I can get to give them some credit, they deserve it.
So a lot of people in New Hampshire are happy, unless you live in Merrimack, Hillsborough, Rockingham, or Stratford County, where you're going, come on, I want restaurants 100% open, not 50%.
Yeah, well, I would love it too, but unfortunately about 90% of the active COVID cases are in those counties. There are mm-hmm. the counties that are closest to the border of Massachusetts, and the really good news is that Massachusetts numbers are really coming down, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us a lot more confidence to do more things, and you know, where we're not just trying to restrict it to New Hampshire residents only. And I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll just keep taking steps. We've always said this is going to be stepwise. We're never mm-hmm. just going to rip the Band-Aid off. That would be irresponsible to do that. But so we allowing the northern counties and those that, you know, look, I think we talked about this last week, the idea that somebody's not going to necessarily come from Tewksbury, Mass, and drive up, you know, to the Lakes region or the mountains just for the night to have dinner.
Right.
So that's one of the barriers we're almost kind of creating there. But there is a risk of it happening in the southern tier, and we want to just make sure we're limiting those crowds. And mm-hmm. if there is any sort of spread in a restaurant situation, we're limiting the number of people it can impact. And we're obviously going to keep the outdoor dining booming. We're going to keep that. We're not going to take any. We're not going to undo that at all through the summer. So that'll be an opportunity. And my sense is that those southern counties will get to 100% eventually. But we just need to watch the data and see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
So are you proud of New Hampshire and how we responded and stepped up?
Look, I think New Hampshire's done an incredible job, not just through the COVID, but through the protests, through all these kind of really bad things that have happened to this country and this planet, frankly, over the past six months here. 2020 has not been a great month. That shouldn't be news to anybody.
Right.
But when you look at the protests, we knocked it out of the park. We didn't have mass rioting. We didn't have lots of damage to property or individuals. We've had over a dozen protests so far, and they've all been peaceful. They've all gone off very well. The way we've been kind of, I think, understanding the responsibility of having to contract the economy a little bit and contract things on certain businesses and then try to flex it open as well. Do you know tomorrow is the 100th day of COVID?
Wow.
Tomorrow's 100. It's only been 100 days.
Wow.
So 100 days ago was March 2nd, and that was, coincidentally, that was the, if you remember, we did a press conference with Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan, myself, Congresswoman Custer, Congressman Pappas, and coincidentally, about 20 minutes before that press conference, where we were just starting to talk about COVID, we got the indication that we had our first positive test.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I guess, for today, 99 days ago, but that's it. 99 days. It seems like years. And think of where we've come and gone in just such a short amount of time. And New Hampshire's done great. I mean, the citizens of the state handled it great, understood social distancing, took that responsibility seriously, and our numbers never skyrocketed like you saw in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the northern counties of Massachusetts. I mean, you come over that border in New Hampshire, Hillsborough and Rockingham, as high as they were with their numbers, they were still a fraction of what they were in the counties just south of them. So people in New Hampshire did a very, very good job, and it's given us a lot of flexibility to make the right decisions here.
That's awesome. And I know it's all based on data, and we have more data coming in daily, which is a good thing for us to really gauge this. I remember when we first started out, the goal was flatten the curve. And maybe it's semantic, but do you think we flattened the curve yet?
Joe, gosh, yeah. No, we did a great job flattening the curve, and we're keeping the curve flat because flattening the curve is all about having capacity in the healthcare system, making sure of beds and ventilators and those where the symptoms are going to be really dire and potentially fatal. We're going to have the resources available to them. And so, yes, we flatten the curve. Now, that doesn't mean once the curve is flattened, you rip the Band-Aid off and go back to,
right,
to quote, normal.
Right.
Right. That doesn't make any sense because then it's going to skyrocket again.
Right.
There are 25 states in this country right now, half the states in the country. The numbers are going up. Look at California. Look at Utah. Look at Arizona, Washington, Oregon. All those states in the West, those numbers are going up. Los Angeles, I mean, it's one of the only, it's one of the big metropolitan areas. The numbers are still skyrocketing. Even Florida, the numbers are going up. So we've always said the numbers are likely to go up at some point. I think in September, October is where the biggest risk is, and we have to be prepared for that. That doesn't mean we undo everything. But, again, it's all about having a system to manage. So because the curve is flattened, this idea that we flatten the curve so we're all done, no.
Right.
We still have 50 people a day or more that are coming up positive with COVID. So you still have to manage your way through the process. You don't just, you know, the flattening of the curve wasn't the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sign that your management principles and what you put in place were working. You have to keep working at it.
Were you inherently always a numbers guy, or did you get a crash course when this started?
No, I'm a numbers guy. I'm an engineer. Yeah. Worked at MIT, and you know, as an environmental engineer for years, I love modeling, and I love, you know, as an environmental engineer, my job, I specialized in chlorinated solvents, and the hard part there in groundwater. So I would dig, we'd put holes deep in the ground, would find where the solvents were in the groundwater, and the tricky thing about solvents, chlorinated solvents, is they sink, unlike oil that floats. So you never quite know where it is. You got to find it. You got to model it. It's almost like an underground detective. We think it's going to go this way and infect this. And you look at the toxicology of that, blah, blah, blah. So it's all about, the numbers and science. So when this crisis hit, I guess I was in probably a better place than many to understand, you know, what models meant, how important data was, how to track these things, how to do predictive analytics. That's what this is. It's all the science and numbers of it. It isn't just your gut feeling, or there's a lot of angry people on social media, so that's how we're going to make our decision.
Yeah, so, right. No,
no, and it's people might do that. We're not caving to that.
Right, and but with the continued and the expanded testing, again, that's given us numbers to work with, real numbers.
Absolutely. And again, I'll remind folks, remember China, remember Italy? You know, back in March when you literally saw people in the streets of Italy that couldn't get into a hospital. You had people dying in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was a mess because they didn't flatten the curve. Their healthcare capacity got massively overrun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly why we made the very tough decisions we had to make, because we saw the reality of what was happening there and said, well, that ain't going to happen to us. And we put some things in place that were very, very restrictive, and it worked. Really, really worked. And now, as we're likely going to have COVID for the indefinite future here, we have a system that can manage it because we didn't see what happened in Boston or New York. That didn't happen here, right? We managed it in those management principles. Because they worked a month ago doesn't mean you give up on them a month from now.
So here you are, crunching numbers. You're working with a great team, trying to figure out what's the next step. How do we do this cautiously? How do we welcome people, encourage social distancing and blah, 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 blah. And then you've got people that still want to politicize stuff, because I see that there is now a countdown clock about how long it's been that the governor has failed to condemn Trump tear-gassing protesters for a photo op.
Oh, Lord.
It's like, seriously? Does this stuff annoy you?
No, it doesn't, to be honest.
You have thick skin, then. You've got to.
Yeah. I'm number 7 of 8 kids growing up in the Sununu family. Yeah.
There you go. You got thick skin, right? There you go.
You bet I got thick skin. So, and it's, look, I don't let any of that stuff bother me. I mean, let me say it this way. It bothers me, but I don't let it bother me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to put on the good face. It bothers my family a lot. My wife and kids. I mean, they have what they have to go through with all this and all the anger and so every once in a while I will go on social media when I'm feeling too good about things. I'll go on social media and read the comments about me, and oh my God, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And look, we'll get a text. I'll get a text sometime, and someone will say, "Boy, Governor, don't listen to anything people are saying about you out there." And I'm like, "Really? That means I should probably go on and check it out." Valerie will see that or whatever it might be, and it hurts. It does, but because they're not in it. Now, with me, I got the thick skin, and I got a job to do, and you know, we're out there every day. I think we're doing great. I mean, the state is doing great with all this. Mm-hmm. You can't let that vocal minority start, you know, changing how you're going to make decisions. You can't cave into politics or cave into angry people on social media. You got to keep looking at data and numbers and do right by the state. And if you do that, you take the hit short term, you set yourself up for success in the long term. I really believe that. And it's worked out pretty well. I mean, the fact that our unemployment numbers are dropping twice as fast as the national average right now, that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
The fact that our businesses are coming back, the restaurants are opening faster in New Hampshire, and our economy is opening faster in New Hampshire than anywhere else in the Northeast. But we're doing it smart, still stepwise, still looking at data, following the plan that the president put out that said, open some things up, wait a couple weeks. Open some things up, wait a couple weeks.
Yeah.
That was his plan and the CDC's plan, and we are following it, and it's working. So you can't just, you know, start caving to the masses that are getting antsy, or the masses that are saying, you know, mandatory masks everywhere, let's keep it all locked down. No, that's not a practical solution either. So, you know, we always look at the data and try to make the best decision.
All right, so as we let you go now, if you're Professor Sununu, not Governor Sununu, you're Professor Sununu, and you're giving a midterm grade to New Hampshire, what's the grade?
To the citizens of New Hampshire, it's an A.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, look at the numbers. I guess, again, I'm going to just, it's not my gut feeling. I'd look at the numbers and the data, the fact that, you know, we have such a low mortality rate in our community settings, the long-term health care has, you know, the bulk of the death rate, unfortunately. But overall, our cases are fairly low. You know, the vast majority of long-term health care centers do not have any COVID whatsoever. We're taking long-term care centers off of the outbreak list on a daily basis. That's all really good stuff. And again, we're only 100 days in. 100 days in. Think of where we were, where we've come, and where we are today. Man, it's a home run. I know a lot of governors that would love to be in our position, given what's going on just south of us in Boston and what we had to deal with as kind of that, you know, external, you know, just on the cusp of what was a massive crisis in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we got through this, not unscathed by any means, but so well, how can you not give the state an A? It's a great job. And then you add in how we dealt with the protests. I mean, no riots, no violence, Mm-hmm. Peaceful protests with the right message, dozens of them across the state,
yep.
And we did it right. And we did it right. And amongst all this angst and what you're seeing with the rest of the country and, you know, dissolving people talking about getting rid of police and all that kind of nonsense, it's just unbelievable. We don't have that here because we do it right. And the people of New Hampshire deserve all the credit.
I just wanted you to have a chance to grade us and not, you know,
no,
hey, like B plus, but try harder, you know.
Yeah.
So. Okay, that's great.
B plus, but try. That is definitely a Sununu grade. That sounds like my dad. Right
there. Yeah.
You got an A?
Yeah.
I bring home the A in the report. Like, no, it's probably more like a B plus and you should have tried harder.
Hey, you're the one that brought it up. You are part of the Sununu family. I'm just saying, you know. Governor, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for the time, and we'll check in again soon.
Hey, thank you guys very much. Still a lot to do, but things are going well. We just got to stay on the right path. Thank you guys.
All right. Stay healthy, stay safe.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Thank you.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, see, I was used to C+ and try harder.
I know you're better than this.
Yes, yes.
No, you know what? I think New Hampshire has been doing a good job. But and I'm with the governor. You want to be as excited as possible.
Sure,
but
Brown knows.
He's not on the phone with us anymore.
Oh, he's not.
No, he's all gone.
Okay.
But you got to just do it carefully. That's all. You can't just give it up. You can't just say great.
I am so free. Over COVID.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I get it.
No,
we all are. However, yeah. Comma.
Yeah, yeah, and we are feeling you. Yes. Yeah.
But I was curious. If he would say, well, you know, we're doing good, B+, yeah. But we didn't, you know, but no, A.
You know, okay. I haven't heard him have to say, come on, New Hampshire, let's do this. Or I'm hearing some things like you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So, and we're handling things well.
Yeah.
Again, you know, great point of his. All the protests here in New Hampshire, we didn't have flipped cars. We didn't have, you know. Businesses looted. We did okay.
Yeah.
Or we've done okay, I should say that.
There you go.
Not done yet.
8:51. We have to take a break.
Yes, we should.
And we'll be back.